been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now. I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for listening, subscribing to the Far East Travels Podcast here. This is John Sabo coming to you from Nha Trang, Vietnam. And in this episode, I want to talk a little bit more about Southeast Asia opening up to tourism. There are a few more spots that are going to be open very soon to tourism here in Southeast Asia. So we're going to go over that and then talk a little bit about some of the social distancing restrictions that have been lifted here where I am right now and other spots throughout Vietnam. Talk about Vietnam opening up Phu Quoc Island as well in this episode. Oh, and then we're also going to take you back 4 years, 2017, and a walkthrough. Oh my God, one of my favorite markets in Taipei, Taiwan, the Binjiang Market. This is where the big, huge wholesale seafood, produce, and fruit markets are. And the stalls there are just loaded with some of the best food and delicacies out of East Asia, you know, just all in this one bustling spot in Taipei. One of my favorite places. There's some great restaurants. Going to talk all about that in this episode. And as usual, thank you so much for your comments and for keeping in touch, either on Instagram with John Sabo's Far East Travels or on Facebook with the Far East Travels podcast page or the Far East Travels page or the John Sabo official page. And you can now listen to the Far East Travels podcast on Facebook. That's right. The Far East Travels podcast page features the podcast. Just click the link on the podcast tab, and that will take you to all the episodes of the Far East Travels podcast. Now, I believe this is only available in the United States so far, but just check the Far East Travels podcast page in your area and see if it's working there. But I know they were just going to roll it out in the U.S. at first and then eventually expand it out worldwide. So check that out. And also, you can help the podcast and help others discover the Far East Travels podcast by writing a review in the Apple Podcasts page or iTunes account page. And there'll be a link in the show notes. Just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars. Write a review. And you will definitely help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. Okay, and you can help others find the podcast and keep this podcast going by becoming a patron. And patrons, you know, I can't do this podcast without the people that support me on the Patreon page or with donations to PayPal. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm so grateful to have people that have supported me over the past few years. It's going on 8 years since I've been doing all of this type of stuff and content sharing from Asia. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to keep going if it wasn't for the people that have been supporting me. So I really do appreciate those contributions. Again, there'll be a couple of links in the show notes to either the Patreon page or the PayPal account. And you can support the Far East Travels podcast and YouTube channel any way you like. And again, I very much appreciate your support. Okay. So we've had social distancing measurements or measures loosened up here where I am locally in Nyachang for these green zones. Now, they have green zones, yellow zones, and red zones. So if you're in a red zone, almost in any place that is practicing social distancing, and not every place is in Vietnam, by the way, but for most places that are, most provinces, if you're in a red zone, then you're going to be pretty much in a lockdown, complete lockdown situation where you can't leave your place. Yellow zones, a little more loose, and then green zones, you're pretty much free to walk around in a green zone area. And that's the situation I'm so fortunate to be in right now, is in a green zone situation. So, you know, our street has been tested and, you know, it's clean from any kind of COVID infections currently. So we can go out. We do have shopping passes that we need to use if we want to go inside a supermarket, but there really aren't still any supermarkets that are open. So I've had one pass that expired that, you know, it wasn't good for any place anyways because nobody's fully opened up. And then I have another one to use tomorrow that I still don't think will be able to be used because a lot of these supermarkets are staying closed. They are open for business, but basically you have to just walk up to the front door, put your order in, and then somebody goes and fills it and then brings it out and you pay for it and then you can leave. I'm kind of starting to just get used to that now. I've gotten used to the fact that, okay, I'm going to have to put an order in, or I'm going to have to use Zalo and send a message. Zalo is the kind of like the WeChat or Line of Vietnam. So I'll use Zalo to send a message to somebody with a list of things that I want, like a little supermarket. Here in Nha Trang, I use the Moon Milk supermarkets like I did in Da Nang. And then, you know, people in other places like in Ho Chi Minh City would probably order their food the same way. There are online services as well where there's an actual website and a platform set up for you to put orders in and then send them in. I haven't found those really helpful. They're really hard to fulfill those orders. But there are a couple of smaller sort of supermarket chains that the people there are so accommodating, like to, you know, somebody that doesn't speak the language. Typically, somebody at the front will know a little bit of English and they can help me out. I had a gentleman yesterday. I mean, I took a picture of, I put an order through online and then just took the picture of everything that I wanted and gave it to him. And he wrote it out for me. He wrote the whole list out in Vietnamese and then gave it to somebody inside the supermarket to fill. And then they brought it out to me, which is really nice. So I think people have been very accommodating to, especially foreigners, I think, in this situation. And then there's all these little independent sellers that have kind of set up their little shop. Again, I don't know how legal it is, but they have, you know, some kinds of food or bread. I bought a couple of baguettes from someone yesterday, just, you know, selling in front of their little shop house. So there's all kinds of things like that. Now, bakeries have reopened. You can go and buy some bread or baked goods, donuts, whatever you choose at some of these places as well. Some of them are making banh mi as well, banh mi sandwiches. I've seen so many postings on different social media platforms here in Vietnam about foreigners or even local people missing their banh mi. It's such an integral part of the food culture here, the banh mi sandwich. So things like that are starting. I feel overall there's just kind of a lifting of spirits, not like people are over the moon, but I'm feeling that people are feeling a little bit more positive about the situation where, you know, some stores are opening again. People are starting to feel, even though there's no dining in, that they can at least go maybe to their favorite coffee place and pick up a coffee or pick up a donut or some banh mi, or, you know, maybe a little bit easier to get some groceries now. So I'm feeling like these spirits and overall kind of mood is shifting now here in Nyachang. And I'm sure people are feeling like that in other parts of Vietnam as well. We also have Grab food delivery again, which has been, I think, the first time in 2 months. And I ordered some fried rice yesterday, which was the first time I've had fried rice in the local style, at least 2 months, right? So, you know, there's some very positive things. There's still lots of restrictions, of course. And, you know, the beach is not open here, so you can't go for a swim, you know, on the beach. You can't walk down on the sand on the beach. But slowly things are kind of opening up, so it's feeling pretty positive. And it seems like even despite all of the outbreaks of COVID throughout Southeast Asia currently, that countries are still going ahead with plans to open up again. And the big one that I think everybody in the region is watching right now is Thailand, because Thailand seems to be the most aggressive at reopening. And they have, for now, since July 1st, opened up Phuket, Koh Samui, a couple other, the smaller islands, to vaccinated tourists without having to quarantine, but they have to stay on the island. And they were to open up Bangkok, Pattaya, Chiang Mai, Hua Hin, and Cha Am October 1st, but it seems like at least Bangkok has been delayed till October 15th. I'm not 100% sure if the other places are. I'm assuming that those places would be delayed as well, because they still are far from their goal of reaching at least 70% herd immunity. So they want to get 70% of Bangkok's population vaccinated by October 15th, and they believe that they can do that, fully vaccinated. And then they will start to reopen. Now, I have friends there in Thailand, and they're telling me that there's still a lot of stuff that's not open. All of the sort of the tourist hotspot marketplaces that you probably know about in Bangkok are still shuttered. They're still shut down. And you've probably seen pictures or video of Pattaya, and Pattaya has been really affected, obviously, by the pandemic situation. So there's still a lot of stuff closed, but I believe that there's going to be some local incentives as well as some local money injected into the economy, especially in Bangkok, to kind of revive some of those places again, get things moving again, so that when the tourists come, there will be more things open. And there are restaurants open in Bangkok for dining in, but still, it's probably not going to be the place that you know or have been accustomed to if you're going to go back. Just that I would assume that you would expect that anyways. So that's the situation in Thailand. Everybody, I think, is watching Thailand. Indonesia is watching Thailand now. Thailand is kind of the pioneer in all of this. And they're even exploring the possibility of reducing some of the vaccination fees that are connected with returning or visiting Thailand. And some of those fees are up over $200 to $250 for three COVID tests that you'll have to take when you arrive, and then within a couple of days of, I think, your first 7 or 14 days. They're trying to reduce those charges because they're seeing now, especially with markets like the Middle East, it's a real deterrent to getting tourism back for people to look at those charges plus hotel and air. And then I would assume that airfare is not at the price that you would normally be accustomed to as well. The prices are probably a lot higher because there's not as many flights coming in at the current, in the current situation. So Thailand's also taking a look at that situation as well. I think Indonesia is really watching Thailand. They're still hesitant to open up Bali. And now they're exploring the possibility, if they open up Bali, that potentially they would just open up travel bubbles. So if you're in Phuket, maybe you can travel to Bali from Phuket. They're looking at different types of scenarios where they could connect with other locations. Langkawi is another one. Langkawi in Malaysia is now open to fully vaccinated domestic tourists, but still I've not heard of any international tourism reopening for Malaysia. And Langkawi is a very popular place for tourists to go. I believe that it's also kind of a business zone. So there's some exemptions for certain things. And I believe alcohol is cheaper in Langkawi. It might be one of the cheapest places in Malaysia to have alcohol because of this economic zone that they have there. So that's why Langkawi is popular, not only with locals, but with international tourists as well. And many people have long-term options there, or stay options there as well, or people that, rent condos for 3 months or villas or whatever. So Langkawi, I would be watching Langkawi as well. For Vietnam, Phu Quoc Island is still set to go for October 1st opening to fully vaccinated tourists. And, you know, there's going to be some restrictions on these openings. It's not going to be the vacation that you would be accustomed to if you're coming back now. Maybe in a year it will be, or 6 months possibly. But right now, there's still going to be restrictions. So, you know, expect package tourism at some of these places. You won't be able to just kind of pick and choose where you want. You'll have a airfare and a hotel package. Of course, these hotels are going to be all pre-approved by the government for safety and COVID testing and things like that. So that's what I understand the situation is going to be like on Phu Quoc. So you'll just have to buy a package, you know, whether it's a 1 week or 2 week package that is hotel included. And then you won't be able to just kind of roam freely around the island. As far as the first bits of news that I've seen coming out of Phu Quoc, it's going to be restricted. Maybe not as tight as the Maldives, where you're just basically going to that resort and you're staying at that resort the whole time. I think you will be able to leave your resort, but it probably will be under supervision or, you know, restricted in some way. Maybe you'll get some bus tours to go to certain spots where you'll be allowed to go, but it will be a little more controlled. So again, if you're used to kind of flying into Phu Quoc and doing whatever you want, I don't think this is going to be the vacation for you. But it is opening up, and there's probably going to be a lot of demand for the local market for these destinations as well. So I would say probably, like, Phu Quoc is a six-month experiment. But I think in the meantime, there possibly might be some other places that are going to reopen in Vietnam as well, because they were exploring Quan Am province before, where Hoi An is. And also Can Hoa province, where I am right now in Nha Trang. In Can Hoa province, they have some absolutely amazing world-class villa resorts that would probably suit this type of a travel bubble situation better than anywhere else. Whereas you would kind of just fly in here and they would take you out to your resort. Some of them are only accessible by boat, and you'd go to your luxury resort and you'd stay there for 4 days or 5 days or however long you wanted to stay. And then you'd be escorted out and then back on your plane back home. Again, those are going to be more expensive types of vacations. But there's certainly a market here for that in Asia. And I think that that's probably the direction that they'll go in. Same with Quan Am province, where there'll be like these more higher end probably five-star resorts or villa resorts where people can go. They can keep them kind of isolated, but they'll still have enough around them. They'll have a beach that they can access and a few other things, and maybe they'll build in some kind of trips or tours for them as well. But that would be what I believe tourism will look like in Vietnam, at least for the next 6 months. Those are kind of the goings-on right now in Southeast Asia. Not heard anything more on Cambodia. Cambodia, last time I had heard, was looking at perhaps by the end of this year or early next year to start looking at reopening Siem Reap. But again, I think in the next 6 months, if you do see openings, they're going to be fairly restrictive, and it's not going to be like something that an independent traveler would necessarily enjoy. But maybe for somebody that's wanting just a getaway and wanting to get away from wherever they are and see something different and have a nice relaxing stay somewhere, this might be the kind of vacation for those people. And it would be at least a start to inject some, you know, money back into the tourism industry with the airlines and some of these resorts, and then eventually, you know, seeing how it's all falling into play and that it seems fairly safe, then they slowly start reopening everything else. So that's the current situation here in Southeast Asia. I can tell you personally, I feel, you know, a lot more positive than I did feeling just kind of locked up. I mean, being able to go out for a walk, and I'm still very reluctant to go out unless I really need something, just to kind of wander around. I still don't really feel comfortable doing that. But to go now and at least be a little more empowered to get some things if I need some things and there's places open, and to be able to maybe order food now and then online is absolutely been a positive experience and gives personally me some kind of hope that, you know, we did have some pretty tough restrictions on us, but now we're sort of reaping the benefits from that. And, you know, it's a safer place for everybody. And maybe slowly we're going to start to reopen again. And I did hear, too, that they're checking around in my particular neighborhood, getting a count of people that they're getting ready to vaccinate here as well. So I want to move on to revisiting Taipei. And one of my favorite things always in Taipei was to wander through some of the local markets, whether it's a morning market or a night market. They're just some of the most vibrant, interesting places to visit. And of course, I'm a food lover, so I always love seeing and trying food, and being around the sights and sounds of food cooking is probably the most stimulating thing that I've experienced and enjoyed in my life in Asia. I would say, like, walking through all of these different markets makes me feel like I'm in somebody's kitchen, or, you know, walking through many different kitchens. And those sounds and smells of cooking things is, you know, just so amazing. And I never take that for granted. And it's been kind of disappointing, obviously, because of the lockdowns here, that I haven't been able to enjoy that and enjoy that experience of engaging with local people and shopping for local ingredients and trying new things. But one of my favorite markets to visit over the years in Taipei was the Binjiang Market. And this is where the huge wholesale produce, fruit, and seafood markets are located in Taipei. So all of the bounty of Taiwan comes into these markets, and it's funneled from there into restaurants and other shops throughout the Taipei and New Taipei area. It's really an amazing place, and one of the best times of the year to go is when the seasons change and there's new fruit and produce available and different types of seafood, live seafood. And of course, prior to Chinese New Year or the Lunar New Year, there's lots of extra things that they bring in, specialty foods. And it's just the sight and sounds is absolutely amazing. Plus, they have some wonderful restaurants in the area. One of my favorites was the Addiction Aquatic Development Seafood Restaurant there. I always, at one point when I was living there, I used to go there once a week and get some takeaway sushi or some barbecued mackerel and kind of accompaniments for it. The food was just top notch and always the best. And the service is really good there, too. I remember one of the first times I went there, somebody, a local person, took me there and they said, please don't tell foreigners about this place. But I think by now, that was about 7 years ago. I think the foreigners have caught on that this is a great restaurant to visit in Taipei. This is one of my favorite markets to visit, and I want to just take you back to 2017 to one of my visits to the Binjiang Market.
Welcome to Taiwan, and we're going to walk around the morning market here close to the wholesale veg and fruit market and the wholesale seafood market as well. It's my favorite market in Taipei, because there's just so much yummy stuff here. And I got here quite a bit still before they're going to close up. So let's walk around. So we are actually, we have a possible typhoon coming into the area as well. Yeah, we've got a little bit of a break here from the rain right now. There's a little bit of, just a little bit of the odd drop coming in here. It's a Cat 2 right now. It's called Typhoon Lan. And it is heading into the region. So it looks like it's going to directly hit Japan again, maybe come near Osaka and Kyoto. But it will be in the region, so we probably will get tons of rain here. It's about 700 miles away from Taipei right now. It's pretty inexpensive. I think if you had about $1,600 US a month, you could live okay in Taipei, which I think is pretty good. And they have really good medical and dental program here as well. That's right. You don't need a car here. You don't need insurance. I do travel frequently. I haven't been traveling as much lately, but this year I have been to Vietnam, Thailand, and I'll be in Canada for a bit, I think, soon. It looks still like. Taiwan is my base. I travel all around Asia, and I use Taiwan as a base. Yeah, Taiwan's pretty cool. CJ knows that I love Taiwan a lot. So this is the fruit side of the market, and this is the veg side of the wholesale market. But it's not super exciting in there. This is the nicer market to look at. Awesome, great. Yeah, I know. It's always nice to go back to Vancouver for a visit. The air is different and everything's different. So it's always nice. Look at this. There are some homeless here. There are Mexican restaurants, not very many though. Did you see that scooter go by? Just crazy, like around here. I just did a video on YouTube. You got to check it out. The link is in my Periscope profile. There's a segment there on driving. I talk about the drivers here. There's so many good things about Taiwan, but the driving is not the best, I got to tell you. I know. It's just insane. People here are just used to it. Oh, look at this. Is awesome. Like, this is, I came here at the awesome time. I just speak a little bit. Look at these shrimp, man. I've never seen this. The stock here is so amazing. Look at, and these are special crabs. That's like $30 for four of them. And they're usually, I think they're just seasonal. I think just around this time of year. Yeah, this is great. These are special crabs that are just available seasonally. And they have, I think, different sizes, different grades of them. And look at this, hey. These are just amazing. So I'm thinking these are really expensive. 900. Wow. 900 for, I think, 600 grams. So that's almost $30 for 600 grams. Yes, it's free speech. Yes. Absolutely. It's a democratic nation. Absolutely. There's always protests here. People exercise their democratic rights here all the time. Look, clams, this is fantastic. A great time to be at the market here. Thank you, guys. Please retweet the broadcast. Would you please do me a favor and share the broadcast out on Twitter? Please retweet the broadcast. I haven't been to Beijing in years. Last time I was there was 2010. I was in Guangzhou last year, and I may pass through Guangzhou again when I go back to Canada. This is great. This is really cool. This is a really, like, oh, sweet potatoes. Man, this is just like heaven. This is like heaven. Yeah, absolutely. Really neatly packaged. Always looks good. Doesn't smell here. This is a wet market. So the wet market is a place where they can run water all the time because there's a lot of concrete floors around. So it's very clean. There's no bad smells here. And they keep water running all the time, wash all the gunk away. Goes down here. So that's a wet market. It can't get more traditional than this in Taiwan. And this is one of my favorites because of the variety of food here. Wow, some great. This is a longans. And then this time of year, we start to get into more of the citrus, more oranges. You know, you're used to seeing oranges, but a lot of green oranges here are quite sweet. And then they have probably things that are closer to like the sweet lime that you get in South Asia as well. And there are some imported fruits here as well, because these plums are not from from Taiwan. No, I'm never going to get them. I'm not going to get one. I just would rent one here just to drive around in like the smaller cities in Taiwan, which I've done before, and the outer islands. But there's no need for me to drive around one of these things here in Taiwan, because in Taipei especially, because... you know, the public transportation here is like the best. Hey, ni hao. And I've been coming here for a couple of years now, so most people here are pretty familiar with me, and so they're pretty friendly as well, and don't mind me, taking pictures. It's always good though when you're in these places to just make sure that you they don't mind that you take a picture of their produce and things like that, because some people don't like it. Yeah, look at these bamboo. I've had bamboo all over Southeast Asia and Taiwan, and it's so delicious when you get it fresh. I used to just, all I could ever have when I was in Canada was canned bamboo. So do they have blood oranges? I've never seen them here. It's probably possible though, but I've never seen them here. Traditional wet market in Taipei. Let's take a walk inside here. Look at the butcher. Maybe the shirtless butcher's working today. Let's see. Glendale, California. Thank you. Bless you too. I'm going to see if the shirtless butcher's here. Yeah, there's fish. There's a famous sushi place here as well. I usually get one of my Taiwanese friends popping in now and then on the broadcast, which is always nice. Yeah, we got the shirtless, I call him the shirtless butcher, because usually he doesn't have a shirt on when he's chopping up his meat. I know, it's great. I love it. I just love it. I love it too, the guys with the cigarettes hanging out of the mouth when they're bagging your fruit. That's even better. What foods do I enjoy? Well, I enjoy a lot of like noodles and some of the dumplings noodles, but I mostly eat vegetarian food, to be honest with you. So there's a lot of food here I don't eat, but I do still enjoy seafood. I do eat fish. I do eat sushi. I love Japanese style food here as well. And I love the fruit of Taiwan, yeah. But I mostly eat vegetarian, and I'm mostly vegan. Like, I don't eat dairy. I try to stay away from dairy, but sometimes it's hard to avoid, you know, if it's in baked goods and stuff. And but I try to stay away from, I don't drink milk. I don't consume dairy products as well. Hey, hi, my friends at the mushroom place again. They're always friendly, yeah? No, not at all. No, it's... Bye-bye. No, they have lots of laws against cruelty to animals here in Taiwan. There's still some things that happen, but for the most part, no, it's a pretty humane place. And so this is all fresh. There's no, always get the questions about smells. No bad smells here. It's all fresh smelling. No meaty, sort of off-putting smells here at all. It's all fresh. This is a wet market. What's my favorite food? Well, I guess sushi is probably my favorite. Sushi's my favorite, I think. This is a wet market. So it's a wet market because concrete floors, and they can run water, it keep it clean all the time. And so that's what a wet market is. And this is can't get any more traditional than this in Taiwan, the traditional wet market here. And just before 12 noon, so really busy, lots of people coming in for the day to buy some stuff. This is a famous sushi place here. There's another one down the way that usually has a lineup. And they might be sold out of a lot of their trays. They still have a few trays here. Let's look at this. This looks so good. Look at this stuff. This looks really good. Sashimi. Looks so good. And it's so fresh here. My God, this stuff is so fresh. But they're almost, they usually have, this display case is usually full, so they've almost sold out. And then we've got more of the fresh shellfish and prawns and stuff. So these are all the oysters, and they've got some abalone here, little abalone. Oh, that's great. And some lobster, different types of lobster. Hi. I've living here, yes. Hey, Texas. I've had stinky tofu before. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good. So the last time I had it, I really didn't like it. I thought it was horrible. But I've had it before, and it's been, you know, pretty good. I like, there's lots of different types of, fermented tofu. I recently had some that they make here, but they don't sell it in the local market. And it's like a sweetened tofu that's pickled, and it's almost like consistency of cream cheese. It's really delicious. Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks, Elizabeth. I'm not crazy about the stinky tofu, but you know, I bet you know, it's like anything. If it's done right, it's good. If it's not done right or not to your liking, it's just not so good. But I'll dig into it again, but I'm going to take a recommendation from somebody where to eat it.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Far East Travels podcast. You can stay connected with me and the podcast by either following the Far East Travels podcast page on Facebook, the Far East Travels page, or the John Sabo official page on Facebook. On Twitter, it's FarEast_Travels. Of course, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel, my latest video on the continued lockdown restrictions that I experienced here in Yachang. And then, of course, the Instagram account or stream or feed is John Sabo's Far East Travels. Thank you so much. I know some of you are out there traveling again in certain places in the world. So to you and to all those traveling in the future, of course, I always wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace from Vietnam.